by any means confining myself to this particular portion. By way of a text, I will read the first part of verse 2 in Ruth chapter 4, and the first part of verse 11. Ruth chapter 4, the first part of verse 2 reads, "And he took 10 men of the elders of the city," and the first part of verse 11, "and all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses." I expect most of you older children at least notice that the number that was mentioned in the 18th of Genesis and mentioned in Ruth was the number 10. And the word or description of people mentioned in Ruth that was mentioned in John was the word witnesses. Our friend this afternoon, your pastor, mentioned the number 7 as a complete number, which it is, of course. 7 days in the week, 7 colours in the rainbow, a 7-branch candlestick, and many other things. But the number 10 is also a complete number, but especially with respect to witnesses. But just a few thoughts concerning 10 before we turn to the Word of God. We count in tens, because counting using our thumbs, we count them as 10 fingers. When we were in the infant class at school, we headed our columns of figures, units, tens, hundreds. And when we were doing an addition, when we reached the number 9 and added one more, we put a 1 in the 10 column and a 0 in the units. We may perhaps think this is the only way the counting can be done. But some tribes in Africa count in fives, using the fingers of one hand. They would head their columns, if they wrote them down, units, fives, 25s, 125s. Some count in 20s, using their toes as well. And computers, for all their cleverness, only count in twos, using binary arithmetic. And if in their internal calculations, of which they do thousands in a second, they were to head the columns, they would head them units, twos, fours, eights, sixteens, and so on. Well, we leave those things, interesting though they might be, in another setting. But in the Word of God, this number 10 especially sets forth the full number of witnesses. And while I'll say a few remarks concerning this book of Ruth, I want to go through, as the Lord brings them to one's thoughts, some of the many tens that are mentioned in the scriptures. But then I want to come to this. Are you and am I, whether at school, at college, in our employment, in our retirement, in our neighbourhood, are we faithful witnesses? And then especially concerning the witnessing of Jesus Christ. But to explain especially to our younger friends this fourth chapter of Ruth. Ruth had, of course, been married to Mahlon. There is, of course, much spiritual teaching here. Had her first husband lived, she could never have been married to Boaz, the type of Christ. As we read in Romans, the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are become dead to the law, that ye should be married to Christ. Married to Mahlon, she had no children. She brought forth no fruit. Married to Boaz, she had at least one son. But now, Boaz was not the nearest relation. There was another kinsman, as it is described here, closer related. But though he was willing to buy the field, he did not want to have Ruth for his wife, and said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now in those days, there were not the frequent writings that we have in our generation. We have what are called deeds that say who owns a certain field or a certain house. In those days there were not. And yet, and this comes to my mind, only the other day I had to sign an important document, and I had to sign it in the presence of a witness, and that person also signed to say that he had seen me sign that it wasn't someone else's signature. Well, in those days there was not this, but what they did concerning redeeming or changing, a man took off his shoe in the front of 10 witnesses and gave it to the other. And so the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. And moreover, the Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. A beautiful type of Christ, redeeming his people, purchasing them, paying the debt, that they shall be his bride, the church. Ye are witnesses this day, and all the people that were in the gate and the 10 elders said, we are witnesses. We are witnesses. Now, a witness is a person who has seen, but not only has seen, but testifies, that is, speaks to other people of what he has seen. To see something naturally, 4 things are essential. Those of you that are older can consider them in a spiritual life. We must be living. The dead cannot see. We must have our eyes open. We must be awake. And how close that comes spiritually. But especially in connection with our friend's remarks this afternoon, and I thought both how your pastor and Mr. Dawson, not knowing of what was upon my mind, mentioned many things that connect, as we may see later. Also, though we are living, though our eyes are open, though we are awake, we shall not see unless we have light. We must have light. And so these men had all those 4 things, and they were witnesses. They could speak, if there were any doubt later on, whose wife is this woman Ruth? They could say, we were witness. We saw it. We testify of what we have seen. Well, let us leave this case of Ruth, as I want to look at a number of other scriptures. And first of all, concerning what we read in the book of Genesis. Now Abraham, concerned for his nephew Lot, pleaded for the righteous that were in Sodom. And he started at the number 50. But he stopped at the number 10. And I can remember when I was a child in chapel at Oakington, the age of some of you dear children, thinking in my heart, I do wish Abraham had gone down to 5 or 4 or 3 or even to 1 to satisfy my idle curiosity how many righteous there really were. But he didn't. He stopped at 10. And the Lord said he would spare Sodom if there were 10 righteous in it. Now Sodom was not spared, so there were not 10 righteous. Now if you read the following chapter carefully, you will find that Lot's family consisted of at least 10. Lot and his wife, 2 unmarried daughters. It speaks of his sons, so there were at least 2 sons, that makes 6. It speaks of his sons-in-law, so there were at least 2 married daughters and at least 2 sons-in-law. There were at least 10, but there were not 10 righteous. Indeed, only 4, Lot, his wife, and 2 daughters came out of Sodom. And from what would appear that Lot was the only righteous one there. He stopped, I say, at the number 10. Well, as we move on through scriptures, and I'll try to keep them in the order in which they appear in scriptures as they come to one's memory. Moving on to that chapter in which Abraham sent his faithful servant to bring a wife back for Isaac, his son. And in that chapter we have the word 10 mentioned 3 times. If it were not necessary for us to know how many camels Abraham's servant took, it wouldn't be in the scriptures. It would just say he took camels. But it tells us specifically he took 10 camels of his master's. Now he made those camels kneel down. Now don't think, you dear children, that animals pray, they don't. But Abraham's faithful servant prayed, but he made the camels kneel down first. By their kneeling down, they could not wander off while he was praying. And so his thoughts were not distracted while he was praying. I was very concerned some little time ago when someone said to me they had visited some that attend one of our courses, and he said they didn't even turn the radio off while I said grace. You see, we are to remove distracting thoughts. But then we read, Abraham's servant took bracelets of 10 shekels weight and put them upon the hands of Rebekah. A shekel, for you younger ones, is about the weight of 1/2 ounce. So the bracelets were of about 5 ounces each, or about 1/4 kilogram, if you think in metric measurements, upon each hand. Have you and I bracelets of 10 shekels weight, the full number of witnesses upon our hands? Our hands, as it were, those 10 witnesses. Do they witness our searching the scriptures, as we read in the book of John? Do they witness us helping parents or those afflicted and in illness? Or on the other hand, do those 10 witnesses see us stealing from the checkout in the shop? Do they see us clenching our hands to strike someone else? You see, those 10 can be a good witness, or they can be witnessing our evil acts. She had bracelets of 10 shekels weight upon her hands. And then later in that chapter, we find how Laban said, let the damsel remain a few days, at the least 10. Now Laban worshipped idols. We know that because Rachel later on hid the idols that were her father's. You see, Abraham's faithful servant would not allow Laban to delay him, and if he had stayed those 10 days, they would have been a witness against that servant of his lack of diligence in obedience to Abraham. But he would not. Hinder me not, he said, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. But then moving on rapidly through the scriptures, coming to the book of Exodus, there were 10 plagues of Egypt. And you will remember that after the plague of lice, of frogs, of the hail and so on, while the plague was still there, Pharaoh said, I will let the people go. Ask the Lord to remove the plague. And when Moses prayed and the plague was removed, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. So it went for 9 plagues until the 10th. And then that plague was that the eldest son, from Pharaoh upon his throne to the captive in the dungeon, was slain in every house where there was not blood upon the lintel and side post. It was the 10th witness. Our friend this afternoon, Mr. Dawson, mentioned the 10 commandments. Now I won't dwell upon those other than to say this, that even in our unregeneracy, we may try and keep those 10 commandments, but it will be through fear of punishment. But when the Lord has quickened us into spiritual life, when we have a love to the Lord, we shall have a love to his commandments and a hatred of sin. Though the child of God is no longer under the law but under grace, he will now endeavour to keep God's commandments, loving one another and so on, through love. How much better in a family when the children desire to do those things their parents command because of love rather than through fear of punishment. We read of the tabernacle, of the 10 pillars, the 10 sockets, the 10 curtains and so on. Then moving on, coming to this aspect in the Psalms. I think you will find in 3 Psalms, we find the psalmist will say, upon an instrument of 10 strings will I praise thee. Now a few of you will have seen a harp, but I expect most of you children have looked in a piano and seen the different lengths of the wires. The short wires vibrate quickly when they are struck and give a high note, a joyous note. The long wires, when struck, give a deep note, a mournful note. And the psalmist says, upon an instrument of 10 strings will I praise thee. It is comparatively easy to praise God when we are in good health, have favorable circumstances, journeying mercies, and so on. But we should also praise him upon the deep, the mournful strengths when we are in ill health, when we are in poverty, when we are being teased and tempted at school, when we are perhaps in hospital in great pain. I don't want to dwell upon myself, but our friend mentioned it this afternoon. Last August I had an operation for cancer, and I have to admit I'd never felt so ill in my life. But few times in my soul's experience, which is almost 60 years, have I ever been so spiritually favoured. And one of the first texts I preached from afterwards was this: giving thanks to God at all times for all things. And I really felt I could thank him for that trial. Not just for the trial in itself, but for the spiritual peace and blessings and his felt presence. Indeed, my first text afterwards was that which was on my mind as I was wheeled into the operating theatre. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So may you and I, young and old, praise God on an instrument of 10 strings. Well, we must move on to the New Testament. I remind you there were 10 lepers, the full number. But only one returned to give thanks, and the Lord said, "Where are the 9? But especially concerning that which we read in the 25th of Matthew, of the 10 virgins, all, as it were, living pure and upright lives, but 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, but the wise, the foolish, took no oil." And when the cry was made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," they all arose and trimmed their lamps. We heard of lamps this afternoon. They would be oil lamps with a wick. And those of us that remember oil lamps in our youth, the wicks had to be trimmed that the light should shine clearly. They trimmed their lamps, they examined them. And the foolish said, "Our lamps have gone out." They'd never been alight, but they'd never before examined them. And then they went to buy, they thought they had something of their own to purchase that oil which sets forth the oil of grace in the heart. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, the 5 that were made wise unto salvation, went in with him to the marriage. You know, when we sign a document, we are told to look closely at the small print. When you read the word of God, look at the small print. They did not go in to him, they went in with him to the marriage. The bridegroom, of course, sets forth Christ. Now, if I was in this chapel and you came in from outside, we would say you came in to me. But if we were both outside in the yard and came through the doorway together, we would say you came in with me. For you were in my company the other side of the door. So it is with those made wise unto salvation. They are in the company of the Lord in this life. this side of the door, which sets forth the end of life, death. And when the Lord's people go into heaven, they go in with him, not to him, with him to the marriage. There were 10 virgins. Are you and am I, young or old, made wise unto salvation? Then there is another 10 I would mention in the book of Revelation. We read of the word to the church at Smyrna. Fear thou none of the things which thou shalt suffer. You see the certainty of suffering, not may suffer, thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Now, many things in our path last time I was here, I spoke from that text in Nehemiah, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? Each day of our life's pilgrimage is a new day. We have not passed that day heretofore. We do not know the details of what lies before us in our life, but we do know with certainty certain things. The Lord said to his disciples, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But he also said that which is just as certain, in me ye shall have peace. So we know that tribulation lies before us. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus, as we want to come to in a moment, shall suffer persecution. So 10 days, and it means the full number appointed for you, appointed for me. And you won't make it 9.5. But neither can the devil make it 10.5. It will be so many and no more. We sometimes sing, our sorrows in the scales he weighs and measures out our pains. The wildest storm his word obeys, his voice its rage restrains. It will be so many and no more. He doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of man. We read in Malachi of the Lord's people being tried as silver is tried. He shall sit before the fire as a refiner of silver. As the dross rose upon silver, he skimmed it off. As more dross rose, he skimmed that off until he could see his own reflection. Then the dross had ceased to rise. The fire had done its work. The silver was removed from the fire. So it is with the Lord's people. 10 days tribulation. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Well, there are many other tens that might be mentioned, but I want to move on to another aspect, especially concerning witnessing. Are you and I faithful witnesses? At school, college, occupations, in the shop, without honesty if we're given too much change? I know one person recently given too much change, and they took it back, and the shop assistant was most surprised they brought it back. Don't expect that sort of thing these days, do they? But you see, an answer of a good conscience. Our friend spoke this afternoon of conscience. The Apostle Paul speaks of the witness of a good conscience. Are you and I faithful witnesses before our fellow children or men and women? And the world is ever watching. One of our hymns, I remember giving it out after the minister had spoken from the book of Esther from that text, Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Mordecai, I remind you, would not rise up and bow down to wicked Haman. He still sat in his seat when others bowed down to Haman. He sat in the king's gate. Do you and I sit in King Jesus' gate, not bowing down to the world and their idols, but being faithful witnesses? And the hymn I gave out was 955. Watched by the world with jealous eye, that fain would see our sin and shame, as servants of the Lord Most High, as zealous for his glorious name, may we in all his footsteps move with holy fear and humble love, that wisdom, Lord, on us bestow, from every evil to depart, to stop the mouth of every foe, by upright walk and lowly heart, the proofs of godly fear to give, and show the world how Christians live. You dear children, as you come to the service with the girls with their hats on, the boys with their suits and so on, are bearing a witness to the world. By our presence here this afternoon, we are outwardly at least, and I hope inwardly, being faithful witnesses. And as I have said before, a witness is one who has seen and speaks of what he has seen. Now in this connection, and perhaps this may fasten it upon your minds, remembering, you dear children, that the Old Testament was almost entirely written in Hebrew, the book of Daniel written in Chaldean and one or two other portions, but mostly in Hebrew, but all the New Testament was written in Greek. And the Greek word for witness is martyr, which is where we get the word martyr. One of you children this afternoon was given that book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Now a martyr is one who has witnessed to the things that he has known, speaking and testifying by word and action to others, and suffers for what he has done. Suffers from what he has done. And I have little doubt that whether young or old, if we are faithful witnesses to the word of God, of what we hope he has done for our souls, to his commandments, we shall be martyrs too. We may, through the Lord's mercy, be spared from being burnt at the stake, but we shall know the world's ridicule and scorn. We shall know the devil's temptation in our hearts and his opposition. But what a mercy if we are faithful witnesses. And in that connection, I remind you of what we read in the 19th chapter of Deuteronomy, where we are told concerning witnesses. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. God sent, as we read in the 19th chapter of Genesis, two men, or it would appear angels, to Sodom to witness what they saw. Now, if a false witness, one who does not speak the truth, rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then they shall bring him to the judge and so on. And if it be found that he hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So you see, the one that would bear false witness was to be punished with the same punishment that he, perhaps through jealousy or spite, gave false witness against another. But now our friend this afternoon mentioned John the Baptist, how he said concerning Christ, "I am not that light." But he went on to say, "I am come to bear witness of that light." To bear witness of that light. And John the Baptist was a faithful witness, and he was a martyr. John the Baptist faithfully reproved Herod. Remember, in those days a king had life and death power over his subjects. And through the suggestion of that wicked Salome and Herod's foolishness in promising her whatever she asked the head of John the Baptist in a charger, that is, on a large plank. And John the Baptist was beheaded in prison. A faithful witness and a martyr. But he witnessed of Christ. No one to come to that. If you love someone, you want to speak about them, don't you? And if you have a love to Christ, you'll want to speak about him as well. Have you ever compared John the Baptist's witness of Christ with Pilate's? Pilate looked upon Jesus. He marveled. He was surprised that a person could suffer so much with scourging, buffeting, spitting upon and so on, uncomplaining, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. But what was Pilate's witness? Though he marveled, he said, "Behold the man. Behold the man." But what did dear John the Baptist witness? He looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Well might John Newton in hymn 1146 write, "What think ye of Christ?" is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. Ye cannot be right in the rest, unless you think rightly of him. Are you and I able to witness of what he has done in our souls? We can all witness what a beautiful day we've had. We can witness what a lovely tea we've had through the kindness of friends and God enabling them to provide those things. But soon life, even with the youngest, will pass away. Are we able to witness of what he has done in our souls? The psalmist puts it like this: come all ye that fear God, and I will declare what I have done for the Lord. No. What he has done for me in providence, in restoring me to health, in giving me a good home and loving family. No, none of those things. Come all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Are you and I able to witness that? Now we must be very brief upon this last aspect the Lord said concerning in the 5th chapter of John. There is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. We read of these in the last chapter of the 1st epistle of John. And I have greater witness than that of John. Though John the Baptist was a great witness and a faithful witness, the works which my Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. The Father bore witness at his baptism. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Similarly on the Mount of Transfiguration. Again, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But also in his sin atoning sacrifice, when he suffered all the punishment his people's sins deserve through a never-ending eternity. And he was able to cry, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend." We cannot enter now, indeed one feels never can we fully enter into it in this life, the sufferings of Christ. When he was first upon the cross, he still felt a union to his Father and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But as his sufferings reached a crescendo, that union in it was felt to be broken. And he did not cry, my Father, but my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The answer is, because his people deserve to be forsaken forever and ever in hell. And he bore that separation in their room and place. But he did not die in that felt separation. "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." The Father himself beareth witness of me. Well, may you and I, in our generation, as children at school, others in occupations, others of us in retirement, in the house of God, in our streets, in our neighbourhood, may we be faithful witnesses. May we show whose we are and whom we serve. "His servants ye are to whom ye yield obedience." Last night at Oakington I touched upon many times we read Moses, the servant of God. "His servant ye are to whom ye yield obedience. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Well, we leave these thoughts. May the Lord seal his truth to our hearts, that we may not be speakers, but hearers only, but also doers. And may he forgive anything we've said amiss. Amen.